Hello and welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. We are back after a brief hiatus during the IPL. Quite a number of things happening, you know, the cricket season starting here in the UK and other things just keeping us busy. But as usual, I'm your host, Srini Pasadi. I'm joined by my co-host, Venkat. Hello, Venkat. How are you?
Hi, Srini. I'm doing very well, thanks. Yeah, it has been, the rainy start to the cricket season as usual, you know. Pretty much rains every day, but otherwise, it's good.
Yeah, it's been a mixed bag so far as starting the season for us is concerned in terms of, you know, games, etc. But yeah, the one thing that's still keeping us going is probably the IPL. So
yeah,
at least we are what you would potentially call the business end of the season.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, this has been by far the most closely contested IPLs, I think in the history, I can go and say. Because up until even last week, we had a lot of teams that were potentially going to qualify. Case in point, for example, Mumbai, you know, they had come back from a series of losses. The tables are turning all the time. I think we can reasonably say this has been one of the most closely fought IPL tournaments.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know, really, really, I mean, if you look at Delhi, actually, like, you know, Delhi are at the bottom. And if you've seen the first few games, you know, Delhi lost, obviously, and you'd think, yeah, that's fair enough. But, you know, there was a point, it's not like unlike previous seasons where the teams at the bottom really are like,
yeah,
cut adrift with like, yep, 1 or 2 points, etc. Versus this season, it's been so close. Like, you know, even right now, you could potentially mathematically make a case for Delhi still getting through. Although, like, you know, if you look at the net run rates and,
yeah,
combinations, they will not, but given the fact they're only 4 points away from third.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've won. If you look at, I'm just saying, for example, I mean, you know, Delhi is in the bottom most of the table, but they've won 2, 3, 4 games out of their last 6. And I think, yeah, the loss against Super Kings will affect them, but that if that they had for a chance won that game, you know, we are talking about, you know, Sunrisers would have been the last. And so, I mean, it has been a topsy-turvy kind of ride. I mean, last week, I think a lot of teams were on the same point, I mean, 10 points or something like that. So, and now, apart from Gujarat, nobody has pulled in the lead. So.
Yeah, I'd probably say CSK again. Yeah. Well, it's not mathematically guaranteed, but I think it's fair to say they are close enough. They will finish in the top four, you know, even if results don't quite go, if they don't win the next game. Obviously, yeah, if they win the next game, then they will for sure make to the playoff. It's just looking at the table, like, you know, sort of there is kind of, especially looking at the recent form, Gujarat Titans obviously are the ones, like, you know, they won. After the last 5, they've won 4 and they lost 1. And
yeah,
as we record this, there is potentially a possibility they might lose to Mumbai.
I mean, Mumbai, to all intents and purposes, it's a gone game for Gujarat. I mean, they require 13 runs an over. Win probability is 0.5. Of course, that not to say that some of the chases that we have witnessed have been really crazy. you can say at 58 for 5, chasing 218. Yeah, 72 balls, 160 is not happening.
Yeah, that is, as you said, like, you know, this game, this tournament, you know, has been really interesting, not just in terms of, you know, who's won and who's lost, you know, and the table, etc., yeah, but also some of the, like, you know, big chases that you think, yeah, this is not happening. Like, no, really, really close chases, etc. Look at those ones. It's been a phenomenal tournament. I mean, like, I don't know whether the impact player, you know, the impact sub has made that much massive difference, because has rather than, like, you know, actually from a impact in terms of, like, you know, the individual who they bought into the team, you know, making a difference, I almost feel like, you know, the team batting second, for example, seems to have got this thing, right, we've got an extra batsman, so we can chase anything. That mentality seems to have come in place.
So, yeah, of course. There is batsmen are playing with a lot more, this thing, it's a lot more pressure on the bowlers. But if you really look at it, I think impact sub has contributed. It's like everybody has an gun all around. So that's what it essentially means, isn't it? I mean, what you're doing is you're saying, you know, the need for all-rounder has gone. So everybody has gone. They can add a depth into their bowling. And in the past, you have seen in the auctions, people vying for, you know, a gun all-rounder. That's why you had people like Jadeja and going for big money. Yeah. So now that advantage has been passed on to everybody
and it's also breathed a new lease of life into certain players. I mean, you think about the likes of Amit Mishra at 40 plus, whatever, you know, he just needs to come in, bowl four overs. Pretty much, you know, you're not worried about his batting at all. You know, somebody else can do the batting for him.
Even the fielding.
yeah. Potentially come in, bowl four overs, and then kind of, you know, get somebody else up to field.
Yeah.
And the same thing with, like, you know, Raidu and Kedar Jadhav just come back into RCB.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Kedar Jadhav was doing. I mean, with no disrespect, I think he did have a middling IPL so far with that particular chase. I mean, they could have probably looked to be more positive. But let's see. This tournament is still open. But going back to the point and finishing that, I think you're absolutely right that the impact sub has given everybody an all-rounder. And so a lot more games are going a lot more closer than in the past.
The only team, you know, even with an impact sub and is not making any difference or anything, they are where they are, is RCB. As usual, like, you know, they seem to have managed to muddle that as well by making Virat Kohli captain and Faf du Plessis as their impact sub initially and all sorts of things. But even with giving them all that extra thing, they are still somewhere middling. Where are they? Sixth place right now, RCB.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I was, you know, they kind of plundered their own chances. they kind of didn't. The two continuous losses, of course, one was slightly taken Mumbai. Nobody would have expected the assault from Surya Kumar Yadav on the last game that they played. So RCB, yes, they had a middling season. But still they're on sixth in the table, right? So, I mean, Delhi Capitals, I think you can comfortably say even Sunrisers Hyderabad have kind of,
But I know, I mean, RCB is like, you know, still, if you look at it, there are Lucknow, Mumbai, Rajasthan, Chennai and Gujarat. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams above. So it's basically they've got to, like, you know, overcome two other teams.
They have to win three of their three games is what the scenario is. I mean, if you look at the qualifying, you know, scenarios, RCB will need to win against Rajasthan and Sunrisers. And any defeat there could be his. That's it. Finished.
Yeah. But it's like, It's a difficult one for RCB. I just can't see, like, you know, whatever, however you do it, like, you know, whether you give them, like, whether it's all-rounders, batters, they just don't seem to be able to, like, you know, find the knack to, like, you know, win the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, they've come to playoffs a lot of times. So I don't think now it's qualifying for the playoffs itself is a problem. I don't know if it's the team culture. There's new leadership now. Yeah, it's very difficult with that kind of quality. Siraj has been bowling really well so far in the tournament. They've had some decent... I mean, I think their lack of middle-order batters is definitely hurting them. They have, if you take Kohli, Maxwell, and Faf out, you don't have anybody there. Dinesh Karthik hasn't really delivered this season, so it's just three batters and then a long tail.
Yeah, they just have this. They just don't seem to know, like, you know, how to kind of, you know, get over. The three batsmen, sort of, you know, top three, if you picked up, that's always been the case, you know, when you know,
ABD, you know, Chris Gayle, yeah. Kohli.
Yeah, Kohli seems to be the only constant there, but, you know, the other three kind of, you know, keep rotating. Maxwell came in, and it was Maxwell, Kohli, and, you know, AB when Gayle left, and now it's like, you know, AB is gone. It's Maxwell, Kohli, and Faf. They just can't seem to, like, you know, sort out their middle order at all.
Yeah. I think they had a bad auction as well. You have to say that. I think that hasn't helped them.
Yeah, but the thing is that they don't have one bad auction. Every auction seems to be the bad for them. It's like, yeah, the irony will be really when, you know, they'll probably win their first title after Kohli has left.
Yeah.
He's retired or whatever. Like, that's probably when they're going to win the first one.
That would be a disaster for Kohli's confidence. But he's been playing all right this season. But I think somebody was saying, I mean, one of the analysts was saying, if your strike rate is not more than 100, I think it was Jared Kimber who was saying that if your strike rate is under 120 or something, you know, you're not doing really great in terms of as a top three batter. And so the approach of playing yourself in is hurting them, is what I think, in terms of you have the batter. And this is not only for RCB, any team that has played that kind of conservative kind of an approach towards batting has suffered this season.
Yeah, you look at it and say Kohli's scored 420 runs so far this season, but a strike rate of what, 133, which is kind of thereabouts with his career strike rate of, like, you know, 129.
Yeah.
In the IPL. In fact, if you actually go back and look through his entire sort of an IPL. Other than that one season in 2016 when he scored almost 1,000 runs.
Right.
Where he had a strike rate of 152. And then there was another 2019 where he's got about 140. He's generally been about par where he's now. Like, you know, 113, 115, 120, 120, 139, 130-ish. So that's kind of, he's not really, the game's moved forward. But he's just, that's the strike rate he's been scoring. And his average this year, if you look at it, is actually much better than his overall IPL career average.
Yes, of course. I think, you know, the problem is you're contrasting him against, you know, the likes of Ishan Kishan or Surya Kumar Yadav, people who are more all round, Joss Butler, you know, people who can play those creative shots. I think when I've seen from the little batting that I knew, you know, when RCB and especially Kohli tries to place that, he inevitably gets out, like his fellow Indian teammate, you know, Rohit Sharma as well, has been really struggling. It's not good for Indian cricket if you're going to, with the World Cup round and you have the Test Championship round. The form of these batters, I mean, Rahul is injured and out. So you're talking the Indian top order is really struggling, actually speaking.
Yeah, although if you picked up the like top 10 run getters so far this season, Kohli is actually the lowest in terms of strike rate.
Yeah.
133. So Faf, who's leading it, 157. Yashasvi Jaiswal is 167. You know, Sky is 190. Shubman Gill, 143. Even Devon Conway, who's the only one, the other one in 130, is 136. He's still higher than Kohli. Like, you know, Gaikwad, 147. Josh Butler, 142, 143. So it looks like that there's that 10 run strike rate were different. But I think that makes
yeah
a huge, massive difference.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I can, you can only hope, you know, it just that he turns around.
Yeah.
But let's see. I mean, talking about the playoff chances for the teams, if we do a quick whirlwind of where things are right now, I think, you know, let's start bottom up, right? I mean, if you're talking about Delhi Capitals, I think they'll have to win all their games from here on, and so is Sunrisers. They'll have to win all their games. I think Sunrisers have 4 games to go. They have to win all the 4 games. Punjab Kings, again, they will have to, you know, kind of, I think 3 wins in 3 matches is what they are looking at. And so Delhi, Sunrisers, Punjab, and Kolkata, I think they will have to go all games. So is RCB. RCB has only 3 games. They'll have to win all 3. So it is tough. Any team that can do that from here on will go with a completely different approach. They have to go with a completely different approach to what got us here, got them here, right? Kolkata, RCB, Punjab, Sunrisers, and Delhi Capitals all have to win. But then Rajasthan, Lucknow, Mumbai, Chennai, and Gujarat can afford. Of course, Gujarat, for example, they're sitting pretty on the top. Although I think CSK will probably look to finish on the top of the table. Because Gujarat is, as we speak, is struggling against Mumbai. So.
Yeah, I mean, there are some interesting games coming up, like, you know, sort of teams currently bunched together.
Yeah.
So the next few weeks, you know, and that's probably where, realistic, I mean, mathematically, as you say, like, you know, a lot of them still have chances, but it's kind of a case of, and it's been hard to also predict, like, you know, who will beat who this time around. I mean, think about it, like, sort of the way Mumbai were playing. You would think they couldn't buy a win, but then suddenly they, you know, with Sky coming back into form, is probably, like, you know, single-handedly carrying them. And Gujarat, you think, well, the sort of form that Shubman Gill, Hardik Pandya, and Saha were in, you think, there is nobody to, like, you know, beat Gujarat, but then suddenly Mumbai have turned the tables on them today. So it's, the top 4 as they stand today. Maybe you can go, like, to the top 6 and say up to Royal Challengers Bangalore. They are probably, I would say, like, the Gujarat and Chennai probably almost qualified. And then the remaining 5, Rajasthan, Mumbai, Lucknow, Bangalore, KKR, and Punjab.
Yeah.
Out of the 6, they are basically fighting for 2 spots. Today's win probably takes Mumbai a little bit more closer, leaving the other 5 to fight for
1 spot.
I think that's probably where, you know, 1 win for CSK will make sure that they'll be guaranteed a spot.
They have a match against KKR. The problem is, though, as the tournament goes through, we have seen in the past what's happened is, you know, the teams that go into playoffs tend to rest and take it slightly easy, tend to rest some of their key players. And then you will have teams like DC are playing now, even SRH, which they will start to experiment and then, you know, play with a carefree attitude and upset some of the other teams. So that is also something that we tend to see. Let's see how that turns out.
Yeah, so it will be interesting to see. Sort of moving on, and obviously, podcast focus being CSK, we should probably look at, like, you know, overall on how CSK's season has been. Your thoughts in terms of, you know, overall CSK's season?
The highlight is Shivam Dubey, approach. He's been fantastic for us. Dhoni still delivers, keeps on delivering. Surprise, I personally didn't expect, but he has delivered aplomb in this competition. Even the last game that they played, I mean, if he hadn't hit that 20 something odd cameo, we wouldn't have gone to that kind of score. So yeah, I mean, you do have that. These are a couple of key highlights for me. I mean, the form of Dhoni himself, and then Shivam Dubey. Adhirana's bowling, of course, you have to mention how he has, you know, kind of, I don't know how, when the umpires will start to scrutinize his action. Some of the deliveries are barely shoulder, below, I mean, barely around above the shoulder. Malinga was still slightly higher, if you know what I mean, in terms of his bowling arm. Patirana is even, you know, kind of lower than Malinga in terms of his bowling action. So overall, CSK as a thing has been really a compact, you know, well-engineered team. Like, you know, everybody knows what they're doing. So it's no surprise that they are where they are right now.
Yeah, for me, the surprise was being, like, you know, Tushar Deshpande picking up like 19 wickets and being on the top of the chart for CSK. Even, I know you mentioned Dhoni, but if you look at it actually in terms of that, you know, Dhoni, he's not really, like, you know, scored a lot of runs, you know. But he played what, like 96, less than 100 runs is what he so far actually overall over the tournament he scored, you know. But then he scored that at a strike rate of 200 plus.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
Literally what he's saying, like, in terms of the cameo sort of thing, you know. Lots of not outs, averaging about 48, coming at the back end and pushing the score. But also the other big factor has been the fact that, like, you know, Chennai, he's been able to, like, you know, sort of manage the bowling resources in Chennai slightly kind of different, you know, unlike previous years when the tournament was played at, like, you know, neutral locations. When I say neutral, not just, you know, abroad in like, you know, the UAE, but also in India, it was played in, like, you know, fixed location, whereas this time's home and away, giving that advantage of the home. I think Dhoni's been able to manage that.
Manage that, yes. Of course. I was going to say that because the home conditions has definitely played, you know, to their advantage, especially the match against DC. On May 10th, day before yesterday, wasn't it? You can see that template. 167 is not a great score. Deliver on their way, and then, you know, squeeze, and then you can see that. I think that was the first game somebody pointed out in the stand that nobody scored more than 25, or one player went on to score more than 25. I think it was Riley Russo. But for the winning team, nobody scored more than 25. That just goes to show how, you know, and consistent performance from everybody at a higher strike rate is going to give you better result than one person, you know, kind of going to make a big score when the others in the team are struggling. But anyway, I mean, long story short, yes, you completely nailed the point on the head, because which is the home advantage. Chennai has been really good with using that.
Yeah, and the other big surprise, like, you know, similar to Tushar Deshpande on the bowling side, on the batting side, has been Ajinkya Rahane's form.
Oh, yeah, of course. Ajinkya Rahane has been incredible. I think last match his strike rate was 100 something odd, but then beyond that, he has been a complete revelation. In terms of how he transformed himself. I think last week, we covered this in our last podcast as well. It has been fantastic to see his transformation.
Yeah, I mean, his strike rate for this season so far is about 171.
Yeah.
which is way, way far and beyond what, you know, Kohli has as well. So it's like some really, like, you know, top players.
Yeah, to a certain extent, if you look at it, both are technically correct players. So it is, they're not very inventive, you know, in terms of stroke play. But this season, Achinkya's timing has been just phenomenal.
So that's definitely been, as you say, it's definitely been, like, you know, overall revelation.
One player I would say, you know, probably Ambati Raidu is like, have not had that kind of an impact. And so has, I mean, Ben Stokes is sitting out for the most of the matches now. He hasn't played at all, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ben Stokes is like, you know, he's only played two matches.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing in some ways, because he was the big boy. And you're expecting, but I don't know. I mean, I'm like, you know, this is the cynical side of me, you know, looking at it, like, you know, looking at people, the likes of Ben Stokes, Joff Archer, etc., who sort of almost, like, you know, were preparing for the Ashes, but really didn't want to exert themselves by actually playing a lot here. But they didn't want to, like, kind of say, like, the way Steve Smith is done, we're saying, like, all right, I'm not going to play the IPL, or Pat Cummins, for example.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play the IPL this season, and kind of, you know, move to say, I'm either resting or doing it. They've sort of, like, you know, that feels a little bit, well, you know, it would be my cynical side, but it kind of feels like, you know, it's a bit of like wanting to have your cake and eat it. It's...
Yeah. I do see that. I mean, I think there was this article also that the ECB were working very closely with MI to make sure that manage the workload and this and that. I think, you know, if you're playing, you're playing. If you're not, if you're that serious, like Chateshwar Pujara, go play county games and make sure that you are in match fitness. It's about what is important, right? I mean, Ben Stokes, for example, or even Jofra Archer, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, they were never looking like they were going to play any game, niggle here, niggle there. But on the contrary, Joss Butler, or let's say not even Joss Butler, Joe Root, who's going to be almost a certain pick for the Ashes and key player, he's playing all the games most of the games for Rajasthan. So
has he? I mean, I thought, like, you know,
at least, you know, as a sub fielder, right? I mean, a couple of games, he's been there as a fielder. I know he was stood in the boundary in the last couple of games, took some catches and all that. So
but he's not really, like, you know, actually played any game at all. Like, you know, he's just been
bench warming. Even as a substitute fielder, Ben Stokes is not in the thing. I mean, it could be that they I don't know. I don't know if it's the issue of the selectors, as in terms of the franchises who go and bid for these players, knowing very well that they have a big season coming up, Ashes, and also the World Cup coming up. I don't know. If I were in that auction, this thing, we did discuss this as to it goes. At the time of auction, how much of cricket these guys will play is going to matter, right?
It is. You look at, like, you know, compare it with Cam Green, for example. You know, he's a guaranteed, like, you know, starter, but he's played, like, pretty much every game for Mumbai. All the 12 games. So, you know, yeah, it to me, it's like, yeah, the likes of, you know, some, it's almost like, you know, if Ben Stokes was here, he may have had to play, well, you know, either play for Durham, for example, or get into it. Instead, he's probably just gone to India. I'm not sure whether, like, you know, he's been traveling with the team, like, you know, home and away and everywhere. He probably has, but it's a lot more rest and just getting fit for this one. If he doesn't perform at the Ashes, you'll suddenly find, like, you know, they will blame him to say, oh yeah, because he went to the IPL but he didn't play at all, he didn't pick up, he hasn't had much cricket, you know, he's not really picked up a bat, etc. But on the other hand, it's like if he plays well in the IPL, they'll say, like, plays well in the Ashes, they'll say, oh yeah, he made sure he got his rest and everything else. So it's like both sides of the coin, you know, they'll have. So
yeah, I think that is an interesting point. I mean, we just definitely need to see how, whether they will be making any impact in the tournament from here on. That's also another thing to watch out. You know, there are, I think, Ambati Rai, for example, as I said, you know, you can get a left-hander in at that slot at number six and then say, go ahead and have a free flow. We never know what's the strategy. Let's see, wait and watch how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, talking of the Ashes and sort of, you know, test cricket, you know, it's probably a good segue to, like, you know, because right as soon as we finish the IPL, even before the Ashes, obviously the World Test Championship in Australia, or sort of preparation for Australia in some ways, you know, in England for the Ashes, playing, interesting changes for the Indian team, you know, Rahul injured and out. Are you surprised with Ishan Kishan as the pick to replace Rahul?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. I can see a point in terms of they're missing Rishabh Pant, and so he's the younger sibling almost in terms of batting to him. So they said, okay, let's put somebody like that. I don't know if he would play in the 11, but definitely he's in the squad. We'll see. Maybe the left-right batting combination could be another thing if he does open.
Yeah, that's a difficult one, given Shubman Gill's form so far this season. Unless you drop Rohit Sharma. If you're picking on form, you've got to drop Rohit Sharma to, like, you know, pick Ishan Kishan. That's the only way you will get him in. For me, I'm not sure, like, you know, Rahul Dravid, that is so bold or experimentative to think to put Ishan Kishan on debut in a World Test Championship final. It's one of, you know, if it was a series of five games in England, picking up Ishan Kishan saying, but yeah, you could get debut, it's a test series. This is just a one-off. I really don't see, like, you know, really anybody actually getting a test debut as such.
So you still think, well, if you pick out your 11 for the game, what would it be from the squad?
But let's see. My 11 would probably be Gill, Rohit Sharma, yeah, then Cheteshwar Pujara, obviously. Kohli at 4, I think Rahane at 5. I'm going with Bharat, KS Bharat at 6, you know, given he's the incumbent, he's been keeping, because he's the current one. And then, because it's the oval, I'm thinking Jadeja and Ashwin. That's my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8 is Jadeja and Ashwin. And then your three bowlers, which is Shami, Siraj. And I think the last one I would probably go for is Shardul Thakur, who probably fits in somewhere further up after Ashwin, maybe. So that's... that would be my 11.
Yeah, I think interesting. I mean, you picked Thakur. He's performed really well in the tests that we played last year. So that gives you the additional batting ability. I don't know. I would still play Ishan Kishan as a keeper for instead of Shrikar, but just from the impact standpoint and where he is going to be needed. You know, if you do need somebody to score, get you a quick 30, 40, I'm trusting more Ishan Kishan to do that rather than Shrikar Bharat.
Yeah, but that's based on his T20 performance and kind of thing. You know, he's unproven in test. I mean, it'll be his debut and the occasion wise, you know, whether maybe he can, maybe just because Rishabh Pant can do it doesn't necessarily mean, like, you know, Ishan Kishan can do the same as Rishabh Pant. My way to look at it is like, if Shardul Thakur is in the team, then you've really got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Jadeja and Shardul Thakur, 7 batsmen, plus Bharat. So you that's like 8 bats batting. And I've not even included Ashwin as a batsman. And if you take this, there's 9.
Yeah.
So overall, you would think, well, there is enough strength in batting. You don't need...
Yeah. Ishan, yes. There. Of course, you have a point. Yeah, but then why even include him in the squad? Right?
Well, I suppose that's more to like, you know, because you hope it, like if
backup keeper.
Yeah, Shikhar Bharat has an injury in here or is not well, then you know you need a keeper, and from the KL Rahul would have been the obvious option.
Yeah.
Before, like you know, so this is almost like you know a backup keeper rather than a primary one. You know, in terms of he's more likely to be a bench warmer. As much I don't know what they're going to do with Jaydev Unadkat. You know, he's.
I that's a very strange pick as well, but yeah.
Yeah, he got picked up for obviously the Bangladesh trip. He's still injured, you know. I don't think the injury is still unknown. Yeah. So they may not can't see like you know as another bowler. I mean Deepak Chahar, yeah, he's bowled well so far, but he's also an injury concern. So they probably wouldn't go in.
I think Shami Siraj Yadav is going to be the pick of the bowlers. I mean 3 bowlers. So that's it.
Yeah, and well, that'd be an interesting one. Would they go Shami Siraj Yadav and Shardul Thakur instead of Ashwin, or
Ashwin is playing 100% oval in peak summer. It's going to turn. You know they're going to play Ashwin. They made the mistake of not playing last time.
Yeah, it's a different captain than the last time's captain. So he does pick Ashwin regularly, like you know. But yeah, if Ashwin and Jadeja both play, then you've got a choice between Shami Siraj Thakur and Umesh Yadav.
Yeah.
So, be interesting to see who they pick among those 4. Thakur definitely gives you a bit more batting. And yeah, Australia will come in with full strength, you know, sort of from a pace bowling wise.
Yeah.
So it'll be an interesting, say, not far away the test is. So
it's going to be as soon as this is done, the IPL is done, that's going to be the talk of the
thing. I was talking about this to somebody the other day, I can't remember, but I was thinking like, you know, which of you know we talked about the playoffs at the beginning of the podcast, and if you picked up on said like, you know, based on the sort of the current points table, Chennai, Gujarat. If, let's say Rajasthan, Mumbai, and let's say it goes with as the table stands at the minute.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you're looking at like of the 11 that I probably picked, Gill's not available, Rohit is not available early enough, you know, sort of Shikhar Bharat is with GT, he's not available.
Yeah.
Jadeja is not available. Ashwin's not available. Shami is not available. The only thing. Siraj, Kohli, you know, the RCB guys, and obviously the likes of Cheteshwar Pujara was already here. So it's almost they are only going to fly out after the IPL, so they'll have very little time for the acclimatization.
I mean, yeah, they are professionals and all that, but the same applies to some of the Australian players too, isn't it?
I don't know, like, you know, is there. Like a majority of the Australians, Cameron Green probably, yes. I mean, the likes of Pat Cummins, Josh Hazlewood.
Pat Cummins, Steve Smith, who is the vice captain, they both are available. Scott Boland, he's available. Carey, who is the wicket keeper. Yeah, most of Usman Khawaja, Labuschagne, Lyon. Yeah,
pretty much
most
of
them.
The only one, if you think about it, is David Warner and Cam Green.
David Warner, Cam Green.
Maxwell probably not either.
Marsh is
But I think you would think more like you know, 9 out of the 11 are probably
they are already here almost.
They're here or they will be here like you know early enough. As I said, like, you know, the England played New Zealand for two tests before the previous World Test Championship, giving them like an acclimatization.
Yeah.
And then this time around, we are giving Australia acclimatization before the Ashes as a, like, you know, a match condition. Australia can't get a better preparation than this.
Yeah.
At any time, even when they're here, like, you know, playing against counties and stuff before an Ashes, this is like a proper.
This is proper, yeah. Yeah, full international against a quality team. So, yeah, let's see.
Fingers crossed. Okay. That's probably a good time to, like, you know, sort of round up the podcast. As usual, you know, do leave your reviews and ratings on any of the platforms that you download from Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, etc. And do drop us a note on Twitter. Definitely keep in touch until next time. Hopefully before the finals, by the time we do the next podcast, you know, we'll know, like, you know, closer to like where the playoffs are heading. So we'll have a look at that. Until that, whatever you're doing, have a good one.